This is an ABC podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Law Report. Damien Carrick with you. If you're charged with a serious criminal offence and you're sitting in remand, you certainly want to know how your case is proceeding. But do you really want to have to travel to a faraway court for every minor mention in your case? Well, these days, thanks to AVLs or audio-visual links between prisons and courtrooms, there's no need to jump into an uncomfortable prison truck for a long journey.
Approximately 70% of criminal procedures are now facilitated by audio-visual links or AVL in New South Wales. And I think the figures from, for example, from 2015 to 2016 suggest just under 60,000 court appearances have been facilitated by video links in New South Wales.
Carolyn Mackay, author of The Pixelated Prisoner, which was published late last year. She's a senior lecturer at the University of Sydney Law School. Those 60,000 court appearances include pretty much everything except for trials, committals and sentences in very serious matters.
At the moment, you will have bail applications via AVL. You will have procedural mentions and short appearances via AVL. More significant appearances via AVL, such as sentence proceedings, particularly in the local court, not in the higher courts. But you'll also have things like district court appeals, at least sentence appeals, done by AVL. And you will also have Supreme Court bail applications done by AVL.
That's Paul Johnson, senior criminal lawyer with New South Wales Legal Aid. Streamlining all these minor mentions and procedural events is, as everyone agrees, a big step forward.
So some of the big benefits for the courts are allegedly to have increased efficiency so that we can have more people appearing before the courts more quickly. Obviously, it can increase security. There are less opportunities for someone who's being brought to the court who is in a custodial situation. There's less opportunity for them to escape. And allegedly, it should save money as well.
The transportation costs.
Yes, and I guess there should be some cost savings in making justice faster.
And I'm imagining in a country like Australia, this is a huge advantage in terms of getting prisoners into the court over vast distances.
Well, exactly. A number of prisoners that I spoke to talk about how difficult it is to get to court. So, for example, if you're in a prison, say, up at Mid-North Coast Correctional Centre, which is some well over 400 kilometres away from Sydney, and imagine having to be transported from that facility to a courtroom, say, in Sydney. Certainly 100% of the prisoners that I spoke to like to use Videolink as a means to avoid those long journeys in the back of a prison truck and the associated need for strip searches as well.
Lawyer Paul Johnson confirms that many of his clients also welcome the opportunity to avoid long, uncomfortable trips to faraway courthouses.
Those defendants would often, before AVLs, would be put in a prison transport early in the morning, maybe 4 or 5 a.m. sometimes. They would be driven long distances with the routes taking in other centres and dropping off people at various different courts. You would then be in the cells complex at the court, speak to your representative if you had one, and then you'd have a very brief mention. You'd then wait there till late in the afternoon, be loaded back into the prison vans, and you'd take the circuitous route back to the correctional centre, often arriving back there very late at night.
Can we talk a little bit about these transports, these caged trucks that are used to take prisoners from prisons and remand centres into the courts? They're not very comfortable, are they?
No, we've heard a lot of complaints about them over the years. They're obviously very confined. They're in a enclosed cage truck. You're with all sorts of other people who may be appearing at the same court as you or other courts.
In your interactions with your clients, do you get a sense about whether or not people are happy with AVLs? I mean, generally speaking, do people prefer to appear via a video link than front up personally?
Certainly for the shorter appearances and the disruptions of the transport, I think most would prefer to appear via AVL. Some would prefer to appear in court or have the day out, as it were. But I think for some defendants, the appearance on AVL for the more substantive proceedings, where either a bail application or a sentencing proceedings, where their liberty or their freedom or the sentencing result of their appearance, I think many would prefer if they were in person.
What have you noticed when it comes to the interaction of the person in custody who appears on the screen and the judge or the magistrate?
Under the legislation, the audio-visual link facility, the room, is taken to be part of the court, and so they are deemed to be appearing in court when they're in that room. It is so unlike a court, however, that you could almost not design it in a better way to be unlike a court. They're small, they can be dirty, they're a barren, well-lit, bright white room. They've got a screen and a camera behind Perspex, I think it is, at one end. And you'd often see people appearing and they'd be looking around, they'd be a little bit uncomfortable, especially if they hadn't had the experience before. There's sometimes issues with the connectivity, there's sometimes issue with the sound quality, things like that. So they're supposed to be appearing in court, but what seems to be lost is the historical formality and the authority of the court. And you sometimes see them playing up a bit more. You certainly see some very robust behaviour. That sort of behaviour would on occasion happen in physical appearances. There's no denying that, but the person's there present in court and it would be addressed.
Tell me about some of that robust behaviour.
You've got to understand that sometimes people have mental health issues. They may be coming off drug addiction issues. They may not be the most logical. If things don't go their way, they can get abusive. They can misbehave. Certainly the language can be very colourful. We've seen people strip off. We've seen people do all sorts of things. And as I say, that used to happen when they were in the dock. But I just feel that the AVL facilities are somewhat divorced from the formality and the authority of the court. And I do have the feeling that it is a little bit exacerbated with the AVL sort of experience, or it can be.
So prisoners have kind of less respect maybe for the process. Is that what you're saying?
Certainly for some of them, yes.
For better or worse, if somebody's appearing via a video, an audio-visual link, much easier to control them. You can just switch off the link, right? In some ways, it's easier for the people in the court, the magistrate or judge, the lawyers, even the families of the accused and maybe their victims. They can just switch that person off. And what are the good, the bad and the ugly around that, around doing that?
You're right. We've all seen the situation where the behaviour's got so bad that the judicial officer or the court will simply cut the connection. So the screen suddenly goes black. That person, and obviously misbehaviour and language and that sort of thing, it's confronting, it's stressful, it used to happen and does happen in physical appearances, but there's an immediacy of removing that person from the appearance, and it was their appearance. So it's a tricky thing, but it can be done quickly and immediately, and it does happen.
Caroline Mackay interviewed 31 prisoners in two different New South Wales jails, the Dilwinia Women's Correctional Centre on the outskirts of Sydney and the Mid-North Coast Correctional Centre near Kempsey.
Many of the prisoners spoke about what it's like to be in the space of a video link booth instead of actually being in the space of the courtroom. Now, again, some of those prisoners said how they liked video link and being in the space of a video link studio in prison instead of actually having to go to court was good. They liked it because they felt that they weren't in a situation of being in a dock in court where they were sort of subject to public scrutiny, often feeling very vulnerable in that situation.
It's pretty intimidating, isn't it, to be in a dock surrounded by the authority and power of the state in that way?
It well could be. I agree. I mean, courtrooms can be a very imposing place, and they're supposed to be like that.
Yeah, and that's the flip side, isn't it? That maybe that's what it's designed to be, and for good reason.
That's right. But, you know, on the other side, other prisoners said, well, they didn't like to be just in that space of a very small video studio in a prison. So obviously in that space, people actually spoke about how small the room was, and some people felt very claustrophobic. Other prisoners talked to me about how the sound of the surrounding prison would actually infiltrate the little studio.
I think you interviewed one prisoner who said, quote, somebody was going off next door bashing. It sounded like bashing against a wall, raising their voice. It was very distracting. And they said, quote, lovely, I'm kind of appearing in court and there's a brawl going on behind me, end of quote. So those sorts of distractions, and which wouldn't occur in a courtroom.
Well, exactly. Those sorts of distractions wouldn't occur in a courtroom. And I remember that particular interview. Actually, at the time, I was interviewing another participant in that facility, and I remember hearing the bashings on the wall, and I didn't know what was going on at the time. And it was only later when I spoke to that particular woman, and she told me that she was having a bail hearing at that time. And she was very distressed about the bail hearing, and she actually ended up having a bad outcome. But she said not only was she distressed about what was occurring regarding her liberty, she was also distressed that she was being distracted by these sounds of bashing on the wall. It wasn't necessarily a bashing occurring. That was distracting her concentration on what was happening in relation to her bail matter.
There's also this great quote. One of the prisoners he spoke to said they were concerned about being reduced to a bunch of pixels, being reduced to just being a face on a screen. What did that 24-year-old man mean by that?
I think he was very much talking about the difference between appearing on a screen and actually physically being in court. A lot of the prisoners felt like they were just appearing on a screen as a very flat and two-dimensional image, rather than actually being someone who could participate in any form in that legal matter. A number of people talked about, yes, it was just like watching an episode on TV, although occasionally they were mentioning your name. They described it as a surreal experience from which they felt that they weren't necessarily involved. Clearly, that had an impact on the comprehension of a number of people. So actually, while I was doing my research, I got the chance to actually sit in these courtroom facilities in the prison. And that was done with the permission of the actual prisoner as well as the courtroom. And at the end of all those hearings, a number of the prisoners turned to me and said, so what did that mean? What happened? And they really had no understanding of what had just occurred. Now, I understand from talking to practitioners that quite often defendants, even if they're in court, they don't always understand what's just happened. But at least if they're actually in court, they can immediately talk to their lawyer and say, so what does that mean? By video link, they don't necessarily get that chance to immediately talk to their lawyer. They might just have to wait until sometime after that particular appearance, or the next day, or sometime over the next week.
What about the quality of the connection? Was that always 100%?
No, the technology often fails, unfortunately. While I was doing my research, a number of prisoners were reporting to me during one particular day that everyone was going into the video link studio and they could either not hear or not see, or they had been muted so they could not actually say anything.
Carolyn Mackay, you sat in one bail hearing, I think, with the prisoner where the prisoner couldn't hear anything and that was taking place in court. What happened? There was a stuff up with the technology?
Yes, that was a really interesting experience. I was sitting in this so-called courtroom in the prison, and I was sitting in the corner and I could see on the screen in the remote courtroom there were various people talking about things, but I couldn't hear anything in the actual video studio. So I just assumed perhaps what was going on was a previous matter, and that the prisoner that was sitting in the same courtroom in the prison with me, I assumed it wasn't anything to do with him and we were just waiting for his matter to appear. And so we're just sitting there for about 10 or so minutes, I think. And finally, the judicial officer turned and faced the camera and started silently mouthing words at the prisoner. And finally, the prisoner said, I can't hear. And it was then I realised, well, that was his matter, but it became clear that that judicial officer had the whole procedure muted, so he couldn't hear anything that had just gone on. Very luckily for him, he was actually granted bail, so he wasn't too unhappy about that situation. But you could imagine in other situations where perhaps someone's liberty had just been determined that they were going to be held in prison for an extended period of time, they wouldn't be so happy about that sort of situation where they actually couldn't hear the case that was being brought against them.
On RN Radio Australia News Radio, or available as a podcast, this is The Law Report. I'm Damien Carrick. Today, audio-visual links between courtrooms and prisons. Paul Johnson, I'm really interested. What have you noticed about the way judicial officers might interact with a prisoner, comparing them, on the one hand, a prisoner who appears before them physically, and on the other side, a prisoner who appears just via an audiovisual link?
It is easier, I think, to be a little bit dismissive. Certainly many, and probably most, deal with it very well. They're courteous. They ask for the person's name to be confirmed, check that they can hear, and then they move on to the proceeding. So it can be done very well and in an inclusive way. Others, however, and perhaps not many, but it's easy to kind of ignore the person who's up on the screen, up on the wall. There's one particular magistrate I won't name, but it's fairly well known for not looking at the person on the screen, and the clients would say to the legal aid solicitors, "You watch, he's not going to look at me at all. The person's sitting there sentencing me or whatever, and he won't even acknowledge my presence." The words are somewhat more colourful. I'll spare you the details, but I think you can imagine what some of the things said might be.
And do you think that that judicial officer, and maybe others like him or her, would be, if they were faced with somebody physically in front of them in a court, they would give them eye contact, they would address them more directly?
Often the dock is behind the bar table or off to the side, so it's on a very similar level, so it's in the line of sight much more. I think some of those characteristics and how people deal with who are appearing and who they're sitting in judgment on vary, obviously. Some of the characteristics may be similar regardless, but I just think it's easier, and I think it's sometimes exacerbated by this process.
Do you think that AVLs might actually have an impact on what a judge or a magistrate might decide? Do you think it might have an actual impact on the sentence or the decision of whether or not to grant bail?
I suspect so. I'm not aware of any specific research in the area, but I think you only have to speak to people involved in the practice of criminal law to know that most judicial officers find it very difficult to sentence someone to prison, especially if they're young, especially if it's their first sentence of imprisonment. I think those practitioners would also tell you that if you're on bail, therefore appearing in person, perhaps with family, etc., etc., you have a much greater chance of leaving from the back of the court with a community-based sentence. It is easier to sentence someone, I suspect, when they're already in custody. It is more complex, though, because you have to understand the reasons that their bail refused. Some of those reasons are relevant in terms of their sentencing, not all of them, because bail is a different process to the sentencing process, but some of the elements are similar. So you may have the more serious matters. You may have the person who's appeared in court has a long record, and some of those aspects also come into play in the sentencing process. But it is a suspicion of mine, and because judicial officers say they find it very difficult to send someone to jail, as I said, especially for the first time, especially if they're young, especially if there's family and supports in the court. I do feel that because they're divorced, because they're in custody already, not even in the courtroom, I do have a feeling that it is easier, even taking into account those crossover aspects that I mentioned earlier.
So you actually think by not being in the same physical space, the judge or magistrate might be predisposed to being harsher towards the prisoner?
I don't want to overplay that because of the aspects that relate to being bail refused and also getting a custodial sentence, but I do think so. But it is something I've thought of over the 25-odd years that I've been a practicing criminal lawyer, and I think, well, I certainly have an opinion that that's the case, yes.
Paul Johnson, how do AVL links affect the relationship between clients and their lawyers? Because you're not sitting in the same room, you can't sort of get instructions from them physically immediately before the hearing and even interact with them during the hearing. So how does it work, and how is it different from if somebody's remote as opposed to sitting in the same space with you?
There are a lot of similarities. You really should be conferencing your client before their appearance or when you can, and you certainly should over the phone or via AVL prior to their appearance in court. You're not, however, seeing them face to face. So where you might have a first appearance bail application, if you're talking to that person over the phone, or if you have enough time and numbers and workload play a part here, you might have time to actually have an AVL conference with them, so at least they're on the screen. But sometimes it's just over the phone, and they may be in earshot of other people who are in these holding yards, these areas before their AVL appearance, so there may be privacy issues and things like that. But I think more significantly, and for first appearances, sometimes people suffering from cognitive impairment or mental illness, they are harder to pick up over an AVL conference and certainly over a telephone call prior to the appearance.
What about during the hearing? A lawyer can't go over to their client and whisper to them and get instructions and maybe explain to them what's happening. That kind of real-life, face-to-face communication during a hearing.
Yes, so traditionally you might wheel the chair backwards and have a brief conversation with your client and ask the magistrate's permission, for example. When they're on the screen, there are telephones on the bar table that you can pick up, and they can pick up a phone there and you have a conversation in that way. But of course, you might be heard in the courtroom. Sometimes that connectivity has issues and they can't hear and they're waving the phone at you, things like that. There is the option of, if it's significant, of asking for the matter to be stood in the list and returning to it later. That's not a great way for matters to proceed. It delays and takes more time. So there are problems with that. There's the added element if interpreters are required. There's that issue of interpreting and so on. Yeah, so the courtroom communication can be somewhat compromised as well.
Carolyn Mackay, now I understand that there is actually the new courthouse in Christchurch, New Zealand, where prisoners are actually beamed in from the cells in the same complex up to the courtroom, a few levels above. And a number of people have expressed concern about this. Have you heard about that?
Yes, I have heard about this, and I've even heard about instances in Australia as well. It does sound rather bizarre that if someone is actually in the court building, why they would appear from the cell rather than actually brought before the judicial officer.
Bizarre, a bad thing? You would say if you're in the building, you should be in the room.
Yes. Why would you not be brought physically before the judicial officer?
Look, recently, a magistrate in Victoria, a magistrate Charlie Rosenzweig, spoke at a legal conference about the use of AVLs in Victoria. What did he have to say? His observations were really interesting.
He talked about how AVL can serve pragmatic concerns and how it's good perhaps in relation to trying to deal with the prison transport crisis and to try and improve efficiency and reduce delays. However, he actually critiqued it from his perspective as actually being incredibly disruptive, as being counterproductive to those pragmatic concerns. So I thought that that was really interesting. He found it as being an impediment to matters progressing quickly, being a real problem in terms of clients being able to instruct their legal representatives. He found that there were problems with technology, technology fails, also the wrong prisoner being brought up on the video link. He found it actually multiplying the number of courtroom events. Now, this actually does seem to segue with some other studies that have occurred overseas that suggest that video links are not making justice progress faster. It's actually not reducing delays in courts. I know one study was finding that video links are sometimes treated by lawyers as a free way of having adjournments, and therefore having more adjournments means that there will be more court events.
He also implied that there were very, very different views amongst his colleagues, some people being very pro audiovisual links and some people being really sceptical and hostile about them.
Yeah, he seemed to draw a distinction between magistrates, that those who thought it would be a wonderful thing that they can use to make things go much faster within their courts. But then he actually draws on various people who find that the use of video links is actually an affront to justice and an affront to the quality of justice that's being delivered. It was interesting, recently I was in England and attended a number of video link hearings in relation to extradition hearings, and how the courts were sitting there often waiting and waiting for prisoners to be brought into the video link studio. Sometimes, again, the wrong person would be brought in and they'd have to tell them to leave and get another person to come in. So it wasn't necessarily always making it an easy administrative situation for the actual judicial officer.
Mm. Finally, Carolyn Mackay, do you have any thoughts about how the system might operate better?
Well, I'm sure over time the technology will improve that can hopefully get rid of those issues of technological failure. I guess I have a concern about the technology really taking over substantive criminal procedures. We can see that this is occurring in other jurisdictions, that at the moment in most jurisdictions in Australia, the technology is only used for certain matters such as adjournments, committals, those sorts of matters. But it is in New South Wales, it is now being used for bail hearings very often. It can be used for sentencing. Now, is it going to eventually turn into a situation where the technology is used for a trial? In New Zealand, with consent, a trial can take place by video link. I think we do have to be very concerned about moving to a situation where people are not brought into court for those very substantive criminal procedures that are very much determining their legal status and whether they will be allowed back into society or actually given some custodial sentence.
Carolyn Mackay, author of Pixelated Prisoners, published by Routledge. You also heard from Paul Johnson, senior criminal lawyer with New South Wales Legal Aid. Thanks to producer Anita Barrow and also to sound engineer Tim Symonds. I'm Damien Carrick. I'm looking forward to bringing you a fresh new year of The Law Report. Talk to you next time.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.